cons of it. Like, what is, especially in your, because your culture is the biggest export of gig economy, right? Like, everyone goes to India or look for people in India for those type of resources. Yeah. So I guess give us a different view of how it's not good for your culture.
I think I would say, may not be able to say about the whole country here.
Yeah, not the whole country. But what have you heard? Like, because you hear different views than I hear. You know what I mean? Yeah.
One thing I've heard is those gig workers understand that they are on an hourly basis. Mm-hmm. So they themselves de-risk it by not working with just one. So they diversify too. So they know the risk. Secondly, in India, I think the biggest difference that I see between US and India is the healthcare benefits. Mm-hmm. In India, healthcare is still cheap.
To the Binary Views podcast. Please subscribe and like the video. Also, you can follow us and all of our podcast platforms using the link below. Today, we're going to be talking about the gig economy and how AI is affecting it. That is for small businesses, entrepreneurs, solo freelancers, or corporate companies. And just so you know, gig economy is pretty much the freelancing platforms like Fiverr or Upwork, where people can work online part-time, nights and weekends, doing little jobs, which has been around for a long time. But AI is going to kind of change that up too, like it's going to change everything. So
yeah,
what's your thoughts on it?
I think my first thought actually on this topic is AI is empowering everyone with a lot of functionalities that they can do. Mm-hmm. Thereby, we used to think of gig workers as specific jobs that needed to be done and you hire somebody temporarily to do it. But with AI, that one person can actually do a couple of people's job and you can have like a long-term relationship with these freelancers.
Yeah.
And you know, they may or may not be part of your company long-term, but they can do projects which are long-term for you. Mm-hmm. So that is like the first thought. And the second thought is, which guides my understanding around the gig economy is, there is a give and take that happens in the gig economy. You pay for service and that service gets done. But we often forget that there are people on both sides. And how does that impact the work-life balance for the freelancers? And how can we make it more equitable for them? So these are the top two things which are on my mind.
Yeah, and so it's actually, I feel like I'm going to have a completely different concept of it than you do. Because, I mean, pretty much my whole career was based off of it. So background, right, which where we met. Yeah. So I graduated college and I moved to Nashville for my first corporate job, which is where I met Pratik at, where you were interning, right, for your graduate school. So he was there for the summer. I just came there right after school and that was my first corporate job. And I was there for about a year or so and then I left for like another year. And then I started doing, freelancing at night.
Almost like 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. This was a long time ago. Nobody really even knew about it. I didn't really know about it. I still don't know how I figured it out, but, I started doing freelancing at night on, it was called Elance back then, or Elancer. That was before Upwork. Upwork bought it and then it changed to Upwork. And I started making more money doing freelancing and nights and weekends than I was doing in my corporate job.
Wow.
And funny thing was that actually I was remote back then. I was, 2 days remote, 3 days in office, which is pretty unique back then. That was 2013, 14, right? Wow. That remote wasn't really a big thing, but I was so efficient with my work. I would work in the office 3 days, and then the two days I was at home, I freelanced the whole time. So I was really only working my corporate job for 3 days, and I was freelancing the 2 days. It was Tuesday, Thursday, and then on the weekends, I was still getting my work done because I was super efficient. Nobody knew anything, and I did that for like 6 months until my freelancing money made more than my corporate. And it's funny, I'm just remembering it. Funny, and like I'm just such a like. I was such a shit back then. I still am. But I was like, hey, I told my manager, like, you know what? I'm about to quit. I'm doing freelance, and I'm making more money. I was like, but you can hire me. And they hired me. They hired me as a contractor. Because
that's a story.
Yeah, because I was in my position. I was the only person that knew how to do the things that I were doing. So when I quit, they were like, yeah, but like, you're the only person that knows. And they hired me as a contract, as a freelancer to continue their stuff for the next 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Which was a bold ass move. But it was, I didn't think it was going to work, but it worked. But then since then, I started doing Upwork. And then I did that for years until, like, at a certain point, you don't make enough money. Like, it's there's a cap to how much you can charge on Upwork.
Okay.
So then I was charging more than like $100 an hour, and then nobody on Upwork pays that much. So then, you know, by then I was building my own brand website and all that, and then I started getting big dollars in, and then I stopped using Upwork as far as a freelancer. But I actually came from that, you know. So so that, and then as far as me as being a solopreneur, everyone I hire is from there. So my world is that, you know. Now I was on both sides of it. Now I'm the person hiring people.
I think what the big techs usually are worried about is,
yeah, that's what I did. Like, when you told me, I didn't know people were, like, big tech was using people from freelancing. I'm curious to hear this part, because this was new news to me.
Yeah, so like big tech companies, right? Like, everyone is in a cost cutting mode for the past 2 years, right? And but the work still needs to get done. So even the bigger companies, they are going into reaching out to freelancers, contract workers to get things done.
I didn't know that.
So that is number one. And secondly, we are also worried about, as tech leaders, that how much of our team is moonlighting. This is a new word that just came up a few months ago, where the employees in a big tech company would actually be working for some other company
on the side.
Yeah.
That's 10 years ago.
Right?
It was so, a term for that.
Yeah. And sometimes when the lines get a bit blurred in terms of what is prioritized versus not, and which is more important versus not, that is like the worries of the tech leaders at
is some point. Is that why all the big tech companies are trying to make people come back in?
There is a reason to it. There is a good argument that could be made. There are other arguments that has been made, but this is definitely one of the ones.
Generally, they're like, oh, like, because it's communication and innovation and all that. But it might be because just people are doing other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which I saw an article where this guy was holding two full-time jobs, and he was like me. He was super efficient.
Yeah.
So he can do both jobs in 4 hours, and he was making two full-time salaries. So I'm sure some companies are just like, man, like, I know this is happening, right? Like, do you feel like that could be happening on your team?
I'm not sure about my team, but
like, he was like, I'm not snitching my team out. I'm sorry, my fault. Don't snitch your team out.
But I'd say I'm not sure about my team, but like But in general, I do see, right? I see this as a natural implication, because everyone is getting more operationally efficient because of these tools, right?
Yeah.
So previously, if it takes somebody like an hour to do it, they are able to do it in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work 8 hours a day, you are done in 4 hours. Yeah. What will you do for the next 4 hours? You're still getting paid the same.
Yeah.
Your mind will wander into those directions, and you will find a way. So it is a natural inclination that I believe.
Throw this idea to you, which startups kind of do, which is more of, they don't pay you. They pay you more for what you do, right? What you get done, right? Yeah. Where I feel like corporate is more like your time, right? They're like, I paid you 8 hours, you're going to be here 8 hours, no matter if you're just sleeping or not, right?
Yeah.
Where I feel like in the other culture, like in gig companies, it's hourly, right? It's just like, I'm not hiring you full time most of the time. It's like, I'm hiring you to do a job. The job may take you three hours or 4 hours or whatever. Do you feel like corporate could ever get to that point where it's like, I'm paying this person a salary. As long as he does his job, he does his job. Like, you think that you can see that coming?
I actually see that happening in companies, but it depends on the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see there are two sides of it. One, if a manager is clear on what are the things that they need doing, and if the team is able to do it, I think there is no issues. No matter what you do in your spare time.
Yeah.
That's not my concern. The other side of the argument is, when you hire a freelancer or gig economy workers for you, the corporate social responsibility for big techs or bigger companies are comparatively higher.
Yeah.
meaning you need to be, contributing to society. And when you hire gig workers, you don't pay for their health insurance and other benefits.
Those are all hourly. So it's kind of, you can't, because they get parts per hour. They don't earn a salary. So it's a little different, I think, for them. Because it's if I pay you 8 hours, I'm actually paying you 8 hours. Whereas salary workers is different, right?
Yeah, like salary workers are like, they can be stretched with giving a little bit of extra bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a gig worker is not responsible for the P&L of your organization, right? But an employee's bonus, end of the year ratings can depend on how your business actually did, right? So it's a transactional versus a long-term engagement. And there is where I think the lines are getting blurry.
Yeah.
Because we are now hiring a lot more of corporate, I would say, individual contractors to be part of the team, which has a long-term plan.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work on those products for like 2 years before you can get something new out of it. And for that long-term, you have contract workers.
Yeah.
And the lines are still getting blurry, man. It's hard to navigate around this, and I can empathize with a lot of leaders in the tech community, and even not just in tech communities, other companies too.
No, for sure. But I feel like the contract thing has been around for a long time. I mean, the whole loophole of you're a contractor, I don't have to pay for your stuff, whether you're in the U.S. or in India, Pakistan, that's been a thing. It's not a new thing. But I mean, like how... I'm trying to think of like... So in the gig economy with like the Fiverr and Upwork and all those, like generally, right, it's more of a, so, well, it's like say Fiverr, right, which is more of a like small task that you're paying people to do, super cheap, usually $5, $10, $15, $20, $50, right, like a little task. Pretty much all of those tasks now can be done by AI. Like there's none of that. Like the whole thing's like, oh, let me build your logo, or let me build a website, or let me build this marketing material. Like now it's just like AI can do that. Why do I need to pay you? You know what I mean? So I feel like that is gonna change significantly. I don't even know what that's gonna be like. Upwork, I think it's gonna be different. Because Upwork I have full time contractors that I have for Upwork, and I've one for years, three, four years probably. The other one maybe 8 months or so. But I usually look for I don't hire companies, I hire individual, like I hire freelancers because I want that freelancer to communicate with me and like I want to build a relationship with that person. So I look for an Upwork for more long term like partnership type engagements, and I don't think it's going to affect them as much for the certain like software develop, because it's like I give my developer, I was like, hey, here goes AI tool, use this to help you do your job, right? Like, so you can be more efficient. I'm not trying to replace him with it, I'm trying to give him stuff to make him better and make him faster. So I do think it's going to change it. I'm not sure how.
I was actually like listening to this video of Callie, she's the CMO of Fiverr, actually. Okay. And she was saying the data point that she shared was in the last 3 years, the need from the gig workers has increased tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
So more and more people are looking for gig work. Now, it can be because they're not able to find other jobs, or it could be that people who are already on that are reaping benefits and they're letting other people know.
Yeah.
There could be multiple sides to it, but the demand for gig work is increasing tenfold.
Oh, for sure. No, it's which makes sense to me. I mean, the whole like globalization, like everything. I mean, I've been doing this forever, but it's like people are learning about it more. It's becoming more common knowledge, you know. And one of the big things with the gig working was, you know, working with different cultures. Your culture, right? It's a different culture working with people from India than in the US, and that's why a lot of US companies or people don't want to work with people in India, because it's just a different culture change. Like everything is different, and it, not even like a negative aspect. It's just they think differently. Their behavior, like everything's different. You know what I mean? Yeah. And generally, Americans, we're like, anything different is wrong sometimes, you know, and we don't just be like, oh, it's just different. Like, let me adapt to it, right?
Yeah.
And so, like being able to just adapt to different cultures and then also languages, right? Like one thing that was hard for me was at least the companies that I've hired, there's like a project manager, which is like a translator for the people actually doing the work. So like the people that I'm that's actually building the software doesn't speak English, and I'm on like a project management tool, like talking to them, they're translating it. But if I gotta be like, hey man, I got something important, get on a call, they gotta be like, oh, where's my project manager to translate for me, you know what I mean? Which would suck.
There's where you can see the use of AI, right?
That's what, like, that's where I was going with it.
No, I could pick up the point, right? Like, the languages will no longer be a barrier.
Instantly translate now. Instantly translate. Like the OpenAI Whisper, it's like quick. It's like instantly. It's like no lag, no delay. So I'm sure, I haven't researched it, but I know they're coming, where it's just like a Zoom where you can instantly translate communications across different you know, languages, and it just auto-detects. So like that part will make the gig economy grow. But at the same time, the AI is going to make it smaller. So that's why I'm like, I'm not really sure what it's going to come out of it, because it's going to increase it and it's going to decrease it. And so there is going to be a super big change.
Yeah.
I'm just, I can't envision it.
In a macro level, I feel that AI is going to, AI is going to actually make good ideas more executable, and thereby making more jobs. And I believe that although some jobs may get, you know, like automated, but when the AI opens new horizons, for example, let's say you have, right now we have one company, let's say Meta and Google. I anticipate in the next 5 to 10 years, there are going to be multiple companies like Meta or Google, right? And there will be more jobs created. And those companies are currently not there because we have good ideas, but they were not able to execute it at scale.
Yeah.
AI will help them execute it at scale, and they will be $1 billion companies, will employ more people. So I'm more of that side and understanding it is going to increase jobs, then decrease it, although it is increasing the operational efficiency per user.
This season is brought to you by Visual Intelligence, your dedicated team and partner for data strategy, innovation, AI, and data analytics solutions. As a special thanks to our listeners, Visual Intelligence is offering a free exclusive AI tool every season. This season, it's the Google Trends AI Data Analytics Assistant. This tool offers actionable intelligence on market trends and consumers' interests using Google search data. It's our way of helping you leverage AI without the need of a big data team. Use the link below and enter your email in order to get access to the tool. Also, you can visit us at visualintelligence.com if you need any assistance in anything data, AI, or data analytics related. But let's talk about the gig economy more, because it's like I'm still wrapping my head around, like for example, like the developers I work with, right? It's like before they wrote Fiverr, it was like $50 for a logo, right? Where it's like now you can get a logo for $5-$10 because you can use Midjourney or something to create logos for nothing, right? So like the price of everything is just dropping significantly for those types of things that the AI affects, right? Which makes competition, like before it was already like the whole thing of outsourcing is the cost, right? Like it's super cheap because labor is cheap, but they're super smart, right? But now it's like AI can do it and it's super cheap and it's smarter than them, you know? So it's like certain things doesn't make sense anymore for like I don't, like anyone that is doing like logos or anything, like paying for business colors on the Fiverr, just it just doesn't know what's going on, right? Like they just, you know what I mean? Like they have no clue. So like, well, that is going to catch on for a second, and there's going to be no more like business cards, like that's not going to be a product people can like offer anymore, right? So like all of that's going to shift, right? Like they're not going to be able to offer the same things anymore. And so that's going to reduce the people that can do those types of freelancing. But like you said, it's going to make opportunities somewhere else. But we just haven't figured, like, that's the whole thing about this is like, we just haven't wrapped our heads around everything yet. Like a lot of people are scared. Like that example is you're not going to be able to do business cards, this and this, but you're going to be able to do this, this, and this now. Like it's going to change. And as long as, for me, it's like, as long as you're seeing it and changing with it, you're safe. If you don't, you're sitting there with, you know, I make logo business, you know, and you just be like, people are still need my logos.
Think about it, right? Like 15 years ago, there was no job called Bitcoin mining. There was no job called influencer. But now we have millions of influencers across the world, and they are making
AI
money.
AI influencers, too.
AI influencers,
Have you seen that AI model? I gotta show you that. Dude, there's an AI model on Instagram that makes hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's not even it's an Instagram account like ran by somebody in Russia or something of an AI like girl. What's the one where they pay for sex?
OnlyFans?
OnlyFans. Yeah, it's an OnlyFans page, but it's not a real girl. It's an AI. And people, this Russian dude is making hundreds of thousands of dollars running this AI OnlyFans, and it's not even a real person. And people know it's not a real person, and they're paying for
it.
And people know it. And people know it, dude. And it's it's just like just
like this thing already, we could never even think about something like this would ever happen.
I know. And it's just like in movies, right? Like the Meta's coming out with something where you can, you know, do short films, like short, just text and like short
text to video.
Yeah. Text to video. Just like picture actors. Like, why would I pay an actor $100 million when I can make the best actor ever for free? You know, like everything is shifting, dude.
No, I'll be honest. Like yesterday I saw a trailer of a movie. It was a catchy trailer, right? And in that, I was not able to see like a lot of like faces, clear faces, things like that. But I thought maybe that's part of the trailer, right? You know, they're like, keeping it sneaky. Towards the end of it, I realized, no, this is just automated generated.
You can't tell, man.
And like, it took me a minute.
Yeah.
The trailer was 1 minute, 50 seconds. After a minute, I was like, that seems something off.
Right?
Yeah.
No, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah. And that... that trailer had like 1.6 million views.
And like, you're in it. So you like, you're looking for things, right? Like picture no one knows. They're just like, I don't know what the hell this is. Like, and like, it's easy to, and that's why YouTube just came out. Cause I do a lot of YouTube stuff. And now on YouTube, maybe a few weeks ago, you have to tell the users that AI is in your video. So because they're so scared of like, especially the elections coming up of people making stuff that's fake. Yeah. So now it's a requirement whenever I publish one of these podcasts, I have to check a box and saying none of this content is AI generated. And or else if you do check it, there's like a tag on the thing that says some of this thing, and if not, it closes your channel or something crazy. So it's just like it's just the world is just becoming crazy. Now okay, let's kind of finalize this gig economy thing. I have always been big on using outsourcing, right? I mean, to me, the outsourcing, they're super smart and cheaper, right?
Yeah.
The hardest part is the communication and the culture difference, the time zone difference, which some companies just don't feel like dealing with. Some people just don't feel like dealing with it. But if you do adapt, you learn the culture, like it's a huge benefit, right? I've never used Fiverr personally. I've used Upwork, and because I like relationships, I like having that one person that I always contact for digital, like digital marketing or design. Like I like having those relationships, so I can come back to them compared to just like one project. But I don't really think Fiverr is going to be a thing. I think I'm sure they're stressing out right now trying to figure out how to adapt. They're going to adapt for sure, but they're not going to look the same, and I'm sure they're trying to figure it out. But I feel like the gig economy is going to increase, but it's going to look significantly different than it is now.
I think I will, from the corporate standpoint, I would say that after COVID, the teams got distributed. We are no longer in the same building. Thereby, when am I working with a tech team, marketing team, business development, program team, ops team, they are spread across, right? For me, they are foreign. Haven't met them one-to-one, face-to-face. So they are, although in the same team, paid as full-time employees, but I am kind of working with them in a gig type of fashion, where I see them on screen, and I share the work that I want to get done, but they're just a face on the screen. So if those screens, those faces are replaced by a gig worker, I would not feel much of a difference.
But I don't, like, I've never worked in an office, or I mean, I have, but like for those 2 years. So like, to me, a screen and being in person is not necessarily what makes a good worker a good worker. It's more of the short-term thinking of like, you're only going to be here for a little bit, right? Like, because then, and that's why I said I like using like Upwork, because I like training my people. Like, I like, and like, you know, like, I'm building this relationship. I want to, like, I want to make you better. Like, I'm trying to, like, improve you because your skill set is going to improve me, right?
Yeah.
Where a gig worker, it's not like that. You're just like, just give me the job done as fast as you can. You're not trying to sell, like, develop them at all, right? So, like, for me, it's just the mentality of the gig worker is just like, get this job done as fast as you can, cheap as you can, give me the product. Where an employee is more like you're trying to build them up, right? But that's changed. I mean, that's
changing.
That's changing because, yeah. like for me, is my person's a gig worker. I pay him full time, but he's still, you know, a contractor. And it's just hour. I mean, he's just not even a contractor, right? Because he's through Upwork. I'm not guaranteeing him any money, but like we're working for a long time. But it's I have all the benefits of the flexibility of it. But also, like, I don't have to, like, if I just want to be like, oh, like, I don't want to work with you no more, I don't have to go through HR and all that, yeah. right? I don't have to pay taxes on certain things. And and so there's a lot of benefits to it. But for the other person, there's a lot of cons. So I know, like, we kind of talked about this earlier, the cons of it. Like, what is, especially in your, because your culture is the biggest export of gig economy, right? Like, everyone goes to India or looking for people in India for those type of resources. So I guess give us a different view of how it's not good for your culture.
I think I would say, may not be able to say about the whole country here.
Yeah, not the whole country. But what have you heard? Like, because you hear different views than I hear. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. One thing I've heard is those gig workers understand that they are on an hourly basis. So they themselves de-risk it by not working with just one. So they diversify too. So they know the risk. Secondly, in India, I think the biggest difference that I see between US and India is the healthcare benefits. In India, healthcare is still cheap. So if you're making good money, healthcare should not be a big problem. Like, that's a, like, the bottom line. And then thirdly, I would say this is a mentality thing. Some people want, I would say, money, flexibility. Some people want, like, stable life. For stable life people, they don't even, like, mess with the gig worker side of things. So it is the people who are okay with doing this. So this is, like, a reality in India. And there is a lot of work to be out there. So they themselves are connected. So if they, let's say a project didn't work out, they will be able to find people within their network who can connect them with the next project. So there is a community out there too that supports each other, which makes the life easier.
And it is scary. I mean, like I said, I was essentially a gig worker, and you don't know if you're gonna be able to pay your rent. Like, it's one of those where you have to have ultimate, like belief in yourself, right? Like you, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of you, like, it's like, man, like, I don't know how I'm gonna pay rent next week, but or next month, but I'll figure it out. Like you have to have that level of, like, I believe in myself. But that level of I believe in myself means you've worked on yourself and you've learned, like, you know what I mean? Like, you've invested in yourself. So I feel, and it's a personality thing almost too, it right? Is, like, it's a risk kind of reward type of thing where I'm just super risky and I make risks that I shouldn't make sometimes, you know? But I also know that I invested in myself so much that I believe that, like, it would work out, right? Where if you don't and you're just, like, chilling and watching TV, like, I never watch TV. Like, I'm constantly learning, doing different things. Like, I don't think I turn my TV on in my bedroom for, like, 5-6 days, right? Like, like, if you put that much work in and into bettering yourself, then you have that confidence to make those risks. But if you don't, you're just watching YouTube all day, it's just chilling, like, you're not gonna have that confidence, and because you're gonna know, you're like, man, like, I probably won't make that happen, you know. So I think
it's a personal choices too.
And so it's a, but I mean, now being older, that's like we were kind of talking earlier, that safety net of, like, man, like, having a nice comfortable income, knowing it comes in, like you know, that's it does feel good, but it also could limit you, right? So
yes,
it's that risk reward, like, it's just a hard balance sometimes of what to do.
I mean, there is this quote which is like quite famous, is that the company gives you your salary, which is a drug for you to, you know, like, not go after your dreams. It's quite true.
Like, that's it. And that's why I haven't gone to court. I'm just like, man, I want that income, but I don't know, man.
I always feel more comfortable with the cup in my hand for some reason. I don't know if that makes me an alcoholic. I'm the
right?